The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Gittin Daf Lamed Hey, and we are at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Lamed Dalid Amid Beis. So we're continuing along here in Perek HaSheleach, and as mentioned, really the next 4 weeks of Gemara's here in Mesechtes Gittin are going to be a digression from the core sugyas of Mesechtes Gittin. So this is something that you find sometimes in Shas. You learn Mesechtes Gittin, which of course primarily deals with the halachas of Gerushin, but you have a huge chunk, a huge block of Gemara's smack in the middle of the Mesechta, almost 4 weeks of Gemara's that for the most part will not deal with Dine Gittin, but are going to be a digression. Some of the more geshmakas sugyas in Shas, this is really good times in Daf Yomi land. Either way, before we start today's daf, so the end of yesterday's daf, which does deal with Hilchas Gerushin, was discussing the halachas of somebody that has more than one name. And now he's getting divorced, and the question is, how does the Sofer write the get? Which name does he use? Does he use both names? What if he had a nickname? What if in one place he was referred to by one name, but in another place he was referred to by another name? So we had an Amud Gemara that discussed the names of both the man and the woman in the context of Ksivas HaGet. It's interesting, something we've talked about previously in the Daf, and that is, we don't find anywhere in Chazal, in the Rishonim, that people should have had more than one name. And Sechtes Ksubas, Daf Tzadik Ches, and Tzadik Tes, we spoke a lot about it in the Daf, regarding this idea that throughout history you don't find people, the Ovis, the Tanom, Namirom, nobody had two names, people had one name. And even if you find someone that had more than one name, they would sometimes be referred to by the one name, and in other times they would be referred to by the other name. But that somebody at the same time, Chaim Yankel, that's not something that you find anywhere in the Gemara. The reason it came up in Ksubas Daf Tzadik Ches is because Tosfos in Ksubas Daf Tzadik Ches Amid Beis brings that Rabbeinu Tam had a Talmud whose name was Yaakov Yisrael. And Shol, Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael, as Rabbeinu Tam, he asked his Rabbi Rabbeinu Tam a question. The Poiskim, the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva, the Noidib Yehuda in the Tshuva, we spoke at an Arichas from the Aruch Laner that they all say he's the only Kadman that you find anywhere that had two names. No Tanoim, no Amiram. We'll see, maybe there are one or two exceptions. But for the most part, it's not something you find. Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael, who was a Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, you do find had more than one name. In fact, the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva, where he mentions that he's been hearing lately people by Brisson, they're giving two names, he refers to it in a somewhat derogatory way. Chadoshim lebekarin, it's something that we never heard. It's something Shalei Shemano, and he quotes the famous Yamshel Shlomo, where the Yamshel Shlomo says that there was a story where someone had a child, and the father and the mother and the child weren't getting along in terms of what exactly to name this child. The father's name was Meir. He wanted the child to be Meir. The mother's father's name, both not alive, was Yoy. And she wanted the name to be Yar. So they brought the Shiloh to the Yamshel Shlomo, and he resolved the question. He said, name the child Shneir. Meir, Yair, two lights, that would be Shneir. So Chasam Sofer said, why do they have to name it Shneir? Why couldn't they just name it Meir Yuer, or Yuer Meir? He says, apparently the meaning wasn't that people did not give two names. But either way, you have here a sugya where somebody had one name on the East Coast, you had another name on the West Coast, Yehuda Galil. So this was all discussion, and it features very prominently that Aruch HaShulchan where he talks at length about two names. Is in Hilchas Gittin, it's in Hilchas Gerushin. That Shuvah from the Chasam Sofer is also in the context of Gittin, in the context of Gerushin. Because Shema is speaking Gittin is something that's very, very important. In fact, there's a whole kuntres that the Taz wrote, it's in Evin Ezer, with regards to Shemais, regarding names. And if you go through tshuvas from some of the earlier poskim, such as the Chasam Sofer and others, it's amazing that there's a disproportionate amount of tshuvas that were dealt with literally the spelling of names and Yiddish names, Jewish names, non-Jewish names. And it would seem almost petty, but it's not, because the bottom line is the name of the get has to be written, and a lot of the halachas that deal with Shemais begitin comes from the Gemara that we learned yesterday. That's Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. There's one important Tosfos that I think is worth spending a little bit of time in. That is Tosfos right here, Dibur HaMaskel, Behude is Chazik Betrei Shemi, brings as follows. Shalu the Rabbeinu Tam. They asked the Rabbeinu Tam the following question. Al Mumer Lavidus Kechavim. Someone was a Yid and he became a Mud. He went off the Derech. Shagir says Ishtoi. Now he's divorcing his wife. The Sefer wrote the get, V'lei nichta beget ela shem shel Yahadus. The Sefer wrote whose Jewish name. He didn't write his non-Jewish name. He's a mummer. Today, he's a non-Jewish person. He doesn't at least observe Yiddishkeit in any way, shape, or form. He's not known by his Jewish name. The Sefer wrote the name that was given to him at his bris. The question was asked to Rabbeinu Tam, is it a kosher get? Is it a pasul get? There's a whole halacha, you have to write the person's shemos. And if he has more than one name, you have to mention the other names. Here, they mention all his Jewish names. They just left out his non-Jewish name. And the question they asked Rabbeinu Tam is, kosher apostle, the heshiv Rabbeinu Tam, chalila lahaskir shem ovid kechavim b'teres Moshe v'Yisrael. That was Rabbeinu Tam's response, a two-line response. He said, chalila, to mention the Shem of a guy in Teiras Moshe v'Yisrael. Based on that, Rabbeinu Tam said there's no question that the Getzahak could be possible. Because to the contrary, not only was it not an issue for the fact that he omitted it, but it would be chalila, it would be a very bad thing for the Sefer to write the non-Jewish name inside the Get. And this Rabbeinu Tam is a very big chiddush for many reasons, but just one interesting thing, and that is, a few weeks ago, in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, we spoke at several tshuvas from Rav Moshe and Igros Moshe that discussed whether it's mutter or aser for a yid to use a non-Jewish name. And the truth is that the makar to there being a potential list to use a non-Jewish name is Divrei Chazal. Chazal say that it was in the schos of either three things or four things that Nigalu Avi said in Mitzrayim. What were the three things? Shloishinu Eshemam, Lishoina, Malbusham. The fourth thing that Chazal sometimes bring is they also didn't speak Lashon Hara. But either way, it was in the schos of these three things that Klal Yisrael and Nigalu Mitzrayim. And in fact, if you look at the Balaturim, right at the beginning of Parsha Shmois, Ve'ela Shmois, B'nei Yisrael, Haboim Mitzrayim, says the Balaturim, the words Shmois, B'nei Yisrael, Haboim, Arosh Tevois, Shivya, Sha'af Kishahoyu B'Shivya, Shmois, B'nei Yisrael, Shloishinu Shmoisam. And it was in that schos, ultimately, that they were Nigalim Mitzrayim, Shevishvil Shloishidvarim, Nigalim Mitzrayim, Bishvil Shloishinu Eshemoisam, V'chulu. And then he continues, says the Balaturim, V'gam, V'chain, Ve'ela Shmois. Parashat Shmos begins with a Vav. Everyone's bothered. Vav is always Moisef Alinyan Rishon. So how do you start safer with the word and? And means you said something and now you're saying something else. So says the Balaturim, what's the connection between the end of Sefer Bereishis to the beginning of Sefer Shmos? Vav Moisef Alinyan Rishon. Because Sefer Bereishis ends with Vayomas Yosef. And Sefer Shmos begins Ve'elo Shmos. Shetziva Lahem. Yosef Atzadik gave Klal Yisrael a warning before he died, and he told them, Shlo Yishanu Shmoisam. Ve'amar lehem, and he added, Afal pi sheshinu shmoi. He said, even though my name was changed to Tzofnas Paneach, which apparently was a non-Jewish name, Atem al teshanu shmoisechem. Don't learn from me, and you shouldn't change your name. But either way, the Baal Turim, right in the beginning of Sefer Shmoi. So this would be the Makar. This would be the source that maybe there would be an issue. But stating that, we spoke out from Moshe Feinstein in three different Shuvas in Igros Moshe, where he says, Dvarim Niflam Ad L'Moed. He says, just two excerpts. Number one, he says that you do find that the Amiroim and Gedolim throughout the generations had and used non-Jewish names. He mentioned the Mishael HaMelech, whose name was Vidal, Rabbeinu Moshe Bar Maimon, the Rambam's father's name was Maimon. Maimon was a non-Jewish name. He mentions many of the Amiroim who used Babylonian names. Antignos Ishtoichoi had a Greek name. Tosis, in the first Perek of Masechtas Gittin, called Rabbeinu Peter, clearly a non-Jewish name. So you do find that there were many Gedolim and many Tzaddikim that had non-Jewish names. This halacha right here. B'schus Gimbal Dvarim Nigal Avi Seidah B'Mitzrayim. So in two different shuvas, Rav Moshe addresses it, and he says something fascinating. In one shuva, he says that even though you see that it's a good thing not to use a non-Jewish name, but clearly it's not aser. And he said, Hagabatzmacha. It's three things are mentioned. Shloishinu Eshemam, Vishloishinu Es Lashoina. Says Rav Moshe, do you know anyone that's makbet to only speak Lashon HaKodesh? That's not something that anybody is makbet. Because man bayis rishon, people used to be careful to only speak Lashon Kodesh. But since Churban bayis rishon, Klal Yisrael never had this Kabbalah, the Talmud Bavli was written in Aramaic. It wasn't written in Lashon HaKodesh, it was written in Aramaic, because that's what people spoke. People always spoke Aramaic. Why didn't they speak Lashon Kodesh? So says Rav Moshe, I don't know. But one thing I do know is from the fact that they were a makbet on Shloishinu Es Lashoina. So he said, Maris, it's not aser. Because if it was aser, they would have had no choice but to be makbid. So if Shleishinu was Lashoina, which is one of the three things, is not a question of Isva Heter, Shleishinu Shemam should also not be a question of Isva Heter. Another thing Rav Moshe says is that it could be this Kepeda of Chazal for Klal Yisrael to distinguish themselves from the non-Jews with having Jewish names, dressing like a Yid, or speaking Lashon HaKodesh. That was all before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, there was no Torah to separate the Yidden from the Umay Sa'olam. So as a result, we needed more superficial things to separate us. But now that we have the Torah, so you know what separates the Yid? Tayag Mitzvahs. We keep Shabbos. Goyim don't keep Shabbos. We have Bris Milah. Goyim don't keep Bris Milah. We learn Torah. We Kavei Yidden HaTorah. They're not Kavei Yidden HaTorah. So we have more real things that are separating us. The superficial things are not as important. Either way, Rav Moshe himself acknowledges that it's a very big kiddush, but that's Rav Moshe's psak halacha. He seems to take a very lenient position when it comes to non-Jewish names. Not surprisingly, there are those that argue with Rav Moshe and felt very strongly not like Rav Moshe. And Bereisham, the Maram Shek. The Maram Shek was a Talmud Muvik of the Chassam Sofer. And the Maram Shek in the Chuvetz and Yerideh Simen Kuf Samech Tes, he very strongly says that based on Divrei Chazal that say b'schus gimel dvarim nigalav yisera b'mitzrayim, a Yid should not and cannot have a non-Jewish name. And one of the makaris that the Maram Shik brings, it's one of his primary makaris that it's usher for a Yid to use a non-Jewish name, is this Rabbeinu Tam right here, where Rabbeinu Tam was asked again whether it's okay for to write a non-Jewish name, or fakert, where the non-Jewish name wasn't written, is the get going to be kosher or not? And what did Rabbeinu Tam say? Chalilo lahasku shem oivet kechovim b'tayis Moshe v'Yisrael. So clearly Rabbeinu Tam felt very strongly that a non-Jewish name is something that's most, to the point that it's usher chalila to write it in a get. If there's nothing wrong with a non-Jewish name, then why would Rabbeinu Tam have had such an issue with writing a non-Jewish name in a get? Says the Maram Sheikh, from the fact that Rabbeinu Tam felt so strongly, and he said, Ashar Feloshim chalila. Based on that, it's clear Rabbeinu Tam was of the opinion that it's something that's a big problem, and the Maram Sheikh and others, as you would expect, take a different position than Rav Moshe, and they're in fact very machmir. But the truth is that the Maram Shik's raya from Rabbeinu Tam is garnished as a pashin. And if you look up in Shulchan Aruch, as far as what exactly Rabbeinu Tam meant, is actually a discussion in the Paiskim. And I'll just read to you one Maram Machmir, and that is the Pischei Tshuva in Eben Ezer Simen Kuf Chaf Tes. It's Sifkot in Yud in the Pischei Tshuva. He quotes from the Yeshua's Yaakov and from the Taz, the two Gedolei HaPoskim, that both said that I believe people misunderstand Rabbeinu Tam. People think Rabbeinu Tam had a problem with writing a non-Jewish name in the get. He had no problem writing a non-Jewish name in the get. You know what Rabbeinu Tam had a problem with? He had a problem with this person who was once a Yid and now he became Frey. What he did was horrible. And when he became Frey, one of the things he did was he took upon himself a new name. A name, now I'm no longer going to be known as Reuven, now I'm going to be known as something else. That name is disgusting. Because that name symbolizes the fact that right now, he's a mummer. That name Rabbeinu Tam didn't want you to write. He was talking about someone that was Hamer Dasai, and he took upon himself a new name when he became a mummer. That's disgusting. That's Chalila to write B'teres Moshe B'Yisrael. But somebody that punked has a non-Jewish name, he has a non-Jewish name, he always had a non-Jewish name, he's not a mummer, there's nothing wrong with that. That says the issue is Yaakov, he has no problem, and he quotes the Gemara, Daf Yud Aleph on the days, and that's what we spoke about it earlier in the Masechta, where the Gemara discussed over there, Gitin Habayim, B'medina Sayom, the Edom Chasumen Aleim, Afal Pisha, Shmoiseyem, Kishemois, Ovde Kechavim, Ksherim, B'nei Sheroi, Yisrael, Shebechutz Loretz, Shmoiseyem, Kishmois, Ovde Kechavim. That was the minig. The minig was, even back in the day, that Roiv, Yidin, that were living in Chutz Loretz, used to use non-Jewish names. Either way, says the Yeshua, Yaakov, he believes it's a misunderstanding the way people quote Rabbeinu Tam. Naturally, the Ram Shik's makar from this Rabbeinu Tam to their being disgusting and a dover shel chalila to use a non-Jewish name is all predicated on one understanding of Rabbeinu Tam. But if you understand Rabbeinu Tam the way the Taz understood Rabbeinu Tam and the way the Yeshua Yaakov understood Rabbeinu Tam, at that point pshat would be differently. The Chassam Sofer, who was the Maram Shik's Rebbe, interestingly, also takes on the position of the Yeshua Yaakov and the Taz. He also didn't understand Rabbeinu Tam Kipshutai. He had a very difficult on the time understanding Rabbeinu Tam. So much so, at the end he writes, Yeh Ich Sheyeh, whatever Pshan Rabbeinu Tam is going to be, Divrei Rabbeinu Tam Koshim Lahazver. It's just difficult to even explain Rabbeinu Tam. He came more from a different angle. Chan Sofer's angle was that what's so Kaddish about a get? Rabbeinu Tam's lashon was chalila to write the shame of a guy, but Torah's Moshe v'Yisrael. He says, "Get Isha is Torah's Moshe v'Yisrael." It's not what it is. A Get Isha is a document. It's a contract that basically says that Reuven and Rachel are no longer married. So if Rachel wants to remarry, she has her get, and now she knows that she's not married anymore. That's really all it is. So who cares if you use a shame Yisrael or a shame of the Kechavim, and if it's a good thing or it's a bad thing? As far as The Chassam Sofer was concerned this whole thing is irrelevant. He says one Dover Nifla, and we'll end with this, with regards to maybe being able to be Masber, what exactly Rebbeinu Tam meant. He says that we're all familiar with the Rambam in Hilchas Gerushin, Perek Beis Halacha Chof. The halacha is that if somebody doesn't want to give a get, Bezin has a right to beat the person up. Makin oisai, the koifin oisai, acheyemer oisani. So the Rambam ki yudu in Hilchas Gerushin, Perek Beis Halacha Chof. It's amazing this is the first time we're speaking out this Rambam. But the Rambam says, V'lomolei bottle gets a. How is it possible that this get is not bottle? We know that if somebody does a kinyin, gives a get, does kedushin, but he did it pa'oinis. He did it because he was forced into doing it. He didn't have das. What's the halacha? Of course, it's not chal. Certainly it's not going to be chal. In the context of a get, it's known as a get ma'usa. If somebody's forced to give it a get, it's a get ma'usa. That's why the person has to say right, Sunday. But the Rambam's cash is, V'lomalei batel getzeh, sharehu onus, be'biad goyim, be'biad yisrael, says the Rambam, adover nifla. All the Balei Musa quote this Rambam. She'ein oimrim onus, elo l'mishen nilchatz v'nidcha glasses dove she'ein mechuyiv menateru la'soysa. If somebody gets forced to do something that he's not mechuyiv to do, then he'd be considered an oinus. Kigoyim, misha hukah at shemachar, somebody forced someone else to sell something. Oy nasan, aval misha tuk for Yitzrei Hara Alevato Mitzvah Lasavir. Listen to the Rambam's Lashon. If somebody was overcome by his Yitzhahara and he now desires to do something that's Aser, the hukah, Bezdin went and beat him up. Ad she Aser Dover Shechayev Lasoysoy, to the point where he was able to overcome his Yitzhahara. And he now he did what he was supposed to do. Oy, achen etzrachik midavash asal asoysoy, ein ze onos mimenu. He's not considered an oynes. Elo hu onos atzmoy bedaitei hara. Says the Rambam, when a person does an avera, he's in a state of oynes. He doesn't want to do an avera. Deep down, every single yid has a neshama. His neshama is rain. His neshama wants to do the ratzon Hashem. He also has a yetzahara. The yetzahara is an external force that sometimes will force a person not to want to do what really he's supposed to do. When a person wants to do something wrong, says the Rambam, he's bebchinas oynes. When Bezdin forces the person to do the right thing, they're not being ma'anisim to do something. What they're doing in Lamdis is they're removing the Yetzahara, which was being ma'anisim to do the wrong thing, and they're reinstating what his real Ratzin is. Because deep down, every Yid has a Ratzin to do the right thing, has a Ratzin to do the Avodas Hashem. Says the Chassam Sofer, Adover Nifla. Says the Chassam Sofer, most Gerishin happen b'kfir. That's what he said. That's usually the way it is. So it's Yitachin that this Mummer that gave a get, they probably beat him up in order for him to agree to divorce his wife. To the extent that they beat him up, when he said roitzani, that was an expression of doing the ratzon Hashem. That's a hirutshuva azar. That's an expression of wanting to do the right thing. This mummer who right now wants to do the ratzon Hashem, for us to use his non-Jewish name in a get, is not nice. Because here he's showing that he's willing to do the ratzon Hashem. But oisei rega, where he's being mekayim divrei chachamim, we're going to use his non-Jewish name, says the chassam, it could be that's why Rebbeinu Tam had such an issue with it. It wasn't because there's something wrong be'etzem with a non-Jewish name. It could be it's related to that. Either way, a svar nifla, kedarkoi, shalach sam sefer. And on that note, we begin today's daf. Zok de Heilige Mishnah. Ein amar nifras v'nichse yisoymim. So we mentioned the halach and bitul aget that was said because of tikkun ha'olam, two halachas. Says the Mishnah, another halacha that was instituted in Tikkun Olam, again, nothing to do with Hilchos Gerushin, and we begin now a 4-week digression from the core sugyas of Hilchos Gerushin. Zok the Mishnah, Ein amar nifras menechse yisoymim, ela b'shvua. A woman whose husband died, she's now an amana, she's entitled to her ksuba. When does a woman get her ksuba? When she's either divorced or if her husband dies. Husband died, she has to go to the yisayimim now, she wants the ksuba. So she tells the yisayimim, here's my contract, here's my ksuba, pay up. So the halacha is, the yisayimim have to pay, but only if she swears. What does she have to swear? It says, Rashi shle neskab l'kum, that she wasn't paid while her husband was alive. The Gemara in the end of Masechtas Ksubas deals with these Gemaras at length, what exactly the chashash would have been, Srari Atfasa, etc. But either way, that is the basic halacha. However, Nimnu Melashpia, there was a time in history where the Chachamim said, no, we don't want this woman to swear anymore. Why? We'll see that in the Gemara. Hiskra B'yechan has Rabbi Yavli Lazakin, so now that she wasn't swearing, so how then does she prove to the Yisayimim that what she's telling is true? She, instead of swearing, she tenoi deris the Yisayimim Kumash, instead of swearing, make an neder. What does it mean? She says, Koinim Peiris Olam Alai, for example. Rashi says, take something that's very difficult for her to take upon herself. So say, for example, Koinim Peiris Olam Alai, in the event that your father, my husband, made some payment towards the ksuba while he was still alive. So for the fact that she's showing that she's willing to violate her neder, that somehow proves to us that what she's telling is the truth. So it's the same concept as a shvuah. But instead of a shvuah, we'd rather have a neder. The pashut reason why Chachamim didn't want shvuah is because shvuah is very chamor, and I guess to the extent that she's lying, she's going to be over on loisisa shem Hashem lekechol hashav kilo yinake. It's one of the aseres hadibros. It's a pretty big deal. Nedarim, as chamor as it is not as chamor as shvuah. So basically, they said instead of the halacha of leitipara ela b'shvuah, leitipara ela b'neder. Another halacha that was instituted mipnei tikkun olam. Edom chayis man ala get mipnei tikkun olam. The fact that Edom need a sign on a get, that's mipnei tikkun olam. Really, don't you need edi chasima? So we'll see. That's already in tomorrow's daf. It's totally Rav Meir, Rav Elazar, Edi Chsima Karti, Edi Masira Karti, and finally, the Hillel Hiskin Pruzbol Mipnei Tikkun Olam. Hillel was Misaking Pruzbol Mipnei Tikkun Olam, and that will be tomorrow's daf, and the daf after that, some of the Geshmaka Sugis, the Sugis of Pruzbol. Says the Gemara, Ma'ir Yamana, Afilukul Amanam, it's the first halacha the Mishnah said, was in Amon in the fast, Minichsi Yisoyimim, Ela Bishvua, Sefreik the Gemara, it's true, that is the halacha. But the halacha is that not only does an Amana have to swear in order to be goyva ksuba, any person that wants to be goyva, a chayv, minechse yisoyimim, needs to swear. Habali part of minechse yisoyimim, whether it's an amana or otherwise. So why did the Mishnah say almana? It's true for all yisoyimim, says the Gemara. Amana is trichaladis. The bazundere chiddish, when it comes to amana, why? So I would have thought, mishum chino akilu barabonon, akilu rabonon gaba, kamash malon. Rashi says, I would have thought that maybe for women to want to get married, because if men are going to get married, they need women to say, I do. They have to accept. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So if it's going to be so difficult for a woman to collect her ksuba one day, she may be disincentivized to get married. As we saw when we learned Masechtas Ksubas, the financial component played a very big role in people's decision yet to get married or not to get married. It played a very big role. See, either way, you would have thought that even though in an ordinary maybe not mana could collect her ksuba without shvuah. Because if you're going to say she needs shvuah, she's going to say, I'm not going to get married because then my husband's going to die and I need the ksuba, I'm going to have to swear. It's a line sickness. So to prevent that, you would have thought that even though a regular balipara needs a shvuah, she maybe is different, kamash malon, that even an amana, but not only an amana, the chiddush of the Mishnah is, even an amana. Just one ha'ara regarding habalipara v'nechse yisoyimim, leitipara ela b'shvuah, and that is a sefer achinuch that we spoke out many times in Masechtas Ksubas, the chinuch in Mitzvah Samechei is Shaloi La'anois Yosem V'almona. It says in the Torah, called Almona V'Yosem Loisa Anon. You have to be very careful when you deal with a Yosem and with an Almona. And the chinuch says that it's not just don't embarrass or make fun and treat them nicely. But even when it comes to business, you have to deal with them professionally. Your business dealings have to be with more sensitivity than it is with other people. The chinuch says, midine ha-mitzvos, he goes through some halachas that play themselves out, halacha l'maisa, when dealing with a yosim. One of the halachas says, the chinuch is, u'mipnei kein amru chazal, sha'bol yipara mimamoynam, afal pishi yeshpat yodei shtar mikuyim, lo yipara ela v'shvua, ma'ashe'en kein ba'achar. The chinuch brings this halacha of apol yipara minechse yisoyimim as a se'if, a very good shmack, as a siv katon in the isir of kol almana v'yosam leisa'anu. Pasha you learn, it's more of a cheshen mishpat diga halacha. The chinuch is bringing it more in an isir v'het to diga context. It says in the Torah, kol almana v'yosam leisa'anu, nichlal, and that is that you have to treat them business-wise different. The cheshen mishpat of dealing with a yosam is different. One such halacha is this halacha. Habal v'yipari v'nechsi yisayim like the par of l'shvud. Mechis chinuch, al-asar asks two kashas on the chinuch. Number one, if the reason a bali par v'nechsi yisoyimim is because of this iser called amana v'yosam leisa'anun, then why is it only true by a bali par v'nechsi yisoyimim? How come a bali par v'nechsi amana you don't have the same halacha? Another kasha Minchas Chinuch asks is v'lei matzinu zerakpius v'din zedloi para who have filled b'yorshim gedolim v'skenim. Frank the Minchas Chinuch, we know that this halacha is even a yosam that's a gadol or is a zaken. If it's related to kol amana v'yosam leisa'anun, that it should only be if the yosam is a katan. But if he's a gadol, certainly if he's a zaken, this halacha shouldn't apply. Either way, two gishmak kachas from the Minchas Chinuch. The place can discuss this. chiddush from the chinuch in the context of the sugyas and the Masechtas Ksuvos. It's not really our sugya, but one of the things that we talked about at the end of Masechtas Ksuvos that you see from this minchas chinuch, and that is up until what age is a yosim treated as a yosim? So yosim has a special place in halacha, such as this halacha: kol almana v'yosim leisanov. Somebody's 89 years old; he lost both his parents at the ripe age of 120. Is he still treated as a yosim? Doesn't have his parents. Does that make him a yosin? At what age does a person become a yosin? For the Michas Chinuch's kasha, it sounds like only a katan is a yosin. Because Michas Chinuch's kasha is that if a boli par ben echsi yosoyim, loyte par alabish was related to kol almana v'yosoyim, loyse anon, then it should only be true for a katan. Once the yosin is a gadol, he's not a katan anymore, that shouldn't be the halacha. And we know that even a gadol that yarshins his father, and now the almana wants to get paid, or a boli par needs shvua. So it sounds like for the Michas Chinuch that only a katan is treated as a yosin. Someone that's a gadol is not treated as a yosin anymore. Something that we talked about in Masechtas Ksubas. Zok the Mishnah, Nimnu Milhashbiya. So the Ikra Din was in Amon and Ephrasim Nechzitim Melab Shvua. However, they decided Nimnu Milhashbiya. Chomir Etakana, no Shvua anymore. Says we're my time. Why not? Ile Mishon Rav Kahana. Is it because of the following story? Amar Rav Kahana, Vamilo Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Maisa Vada Mechad was a story with a person, Vishnei Betsoiris. It was during the Hunger Year. Shehivka Giner Zav Eitzel Amona. He gave as a Pekodin a Diner Zav to an Amona. He asked the Amona, would you watch this for me? She said, yes. Then he chas de bikachel kema. So what she do? She put it where she used to keep her flowers. She had a little jar where she kept her flour. She took the zinar zav, and that's where she put it. V'afasoy. Then she took the flour, and she baked the challah with it. Bepas. V'nas nosoy le'ani. The money was there, the zinar zav. And an ani came to her house, and she gave it to the ani. The yamin ba baladina. Many days later, the baladina came. But amala havili dinari, give me my dinar. Amrolei. So she said, Yehana samamavis be'echad mi banei shal oisa isha im nanesa mi dinar chaklom. She said, I don't have it, but at the same time, I'm telling you, I had no anav from it. And if I'm wrong, I swear that one of her children, she said about herself, should die. That's how convinced she was that she had no anav. Quite dramatic. Amru, so Chazal said, one of her children had in fact died. When the Chacham heard the story, Amru, they said, someone who swore emes, she really didn't have anah from it. So certainly someone that swears b'sheker. And this story was very insightful to the Chachamim, because as much as the Torah and Chazal already wax poetic about how chamor a shvua is, but you see, this was a maisa shahoya that they all saw in their days, when never somebody lost a child, because something like this. But the Gemara asks Akasha, my time, if she was telling the truth, why did she in fact get punished? So the Gemara says, she actually did benefit a little bit. She benefited a little bit because the place where the dinner was made the bread be a little bit larger. So that little bit of bigger bread that she had enough from. So my mishan ish babamis, so then she didn't tell the truth. Your question, kim mishan ish babamis? The kavachemer was madach someone who's a shtickle telling the truth. And the way Taisus, the long Taisus over here, it was Nidre Einstein. She thought she was telling the truth. The point is, it wasn't a blatant violation of the Isser Shvua, it wasn't a blatant lie. Still, she got punished. Then, certainly, someone that swears B'Sheker should get punished. So the Gemara says that maybe it was this story that prompted the Chachamim. We see that this story moved Chazal. So if it moved Chazal, maybe that was what got them to make this takana, that even though an Amon is not supposed to be Nifra Minichsi Yisrael Melo B'Shvua, this should be different. But the Gemara says, Imi Shumha, if that's the reason, my Iri Amon, I feel a Grusha Nami, then nobody should ever have to swear when you're Boli Par Minichsi Yisrael. And a Grusha also not. Now, when does a Grusha swears? Those are sugis again in the Masechtas Ksubas. The Gemara says there's five different times that even a grusha would have to swear when she came to pay up her ksuba. If she was a maidah b'miktzas, if there was an eidecha that said that it was already paid, if after she got divorced the husband died. Either way, there's five examples of when the grusha would have to swear. But apparently this halacha was only said by an almana. Someone that's an almana, her husband died, that's why she's collecting her ksuba. Then leite par ala b'shvua. But a grusha that's collecting her ksuba, where she has to swear, where halacha mandates her to swear, we let her swear. The takana of nimnu milihishava was dafka by an amana. So the Gemara's question is, if the reason we're not letting her swear is because of the chaymer of shua, then why did they limit the nimnu milihishava dafka an amana? And how do you know that a grusha doesn't swear? Does swear, because alam amir abzeira amash muleshanu al amana. Aval grusha mashbiyanoisa. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the reason. We were more concerned that the amana may swear falsely, or maybe a little quick to swear than with the other person. We were concerned that she may be Moira Heter. Why would she be Moira Heter? Because she may feel that, listen, I'm benefiting these children. The Yisayimim are now on their own. The father died. The mother's taking care of them. So she may feel that even if my husband, while he was alive, paid me for the ksuba, but really they should give me ksuba anyways because of all the care that I'm taking for them. So even though it's really not a good cheshbon, but there is some sort of mayrehet, they're always more concerned about the amana having a quick trigger on the shvua than on the grusha, for example. And that's why when they were mesakin nimnu melihi shava, they said it regarding the amana, not regarding the shvua. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, not regarding the grusha. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rab Ushmul, Dami Chavayu, Loishanu Ela Be Bezdin. This halacha nimnu yishava was only a shvua in bezdin. Avuchutz lebezdin, Mashpinoiz. Rashi says, what's the difference between bibezdin and chutz lebezdin? Bibezdin is the shvua deiraisa. Chutz lebezdin is a shvua derabana. What's the definition of a shvua deiraisa? Shvua derabana. It's machlekes Rashi in places right here and in other places Shas as well. Shvua deiraisa is nekitas chifetz. We learned it out from Eliezer Eved Avram. Simno Yotcha Tachas Yerechi. We Shvua deiraisa, they used to close the lights. They were neiris dolkais, etc. Shvua deiraisa was more chamer. Shvua derabana was less chamer. So what they didn't want was a shvua deiraisa, because the ramifications of a false shvua deiraisa is more chamer than of a false shvua derabana. Says the Gemara, Eini, is that true? V'Rav loy magbik suvilar malta. Is it true that Rav and Shmuel, the Omri Travayu, that Rav himself said that you can, even when the Mishnah said nimnu melishava, it was only shvu deiraisa, but shvu derabanan, we're going to allow her to swear, but Rav himself was so machmir when it came to an almana being gave ksuba, that Rav le magvi ksuba la marta, period, exclamation mark, nothing, never. There was no scenario. So you see, Rav obviously held that nimnu melishava wasn't only in Bezdin, where it's a shvu deiraisa, it was chutz le Bezdin, where it's a shvu derabanan as well, says the Gemara, kasha, good kasha. Besura masni hachi, what we just said is the way they used to learn in surah, right? Remember surah we had in the Zayin and Aleph, there were two yeshivas. There was the Vav and Aleph, there was yeshiva in surah, and there was yeshiva in Harda. So Rav's yeshiva of surah, that's the way they had Rav. That Rav was the one that said, Loishonu al bebezin, avuchutz lebezin mashpinoi. So I, Rav, wasn't knowing that way. Kasha. But benardah masni hachi, om Rav Yehuda mashmuel, Loishonu el bebezin, avuchutz lebezin mashpinoi. So it was Shmuel that said that. The Rav, so in Nahardah, which was not Rav's yeshiva, they had a different version of what Rav used to do. The Rav, om Rav, filu chutz lebezin, not mashpinoi. And Rav le tameif, that's the case, that is very nice. Rav le shitase, the Rav le magvi ksuva, le'ar malta. Says the Gemara, Vili Adra, Vili Kvetz. It says the Gemara, I understand why perhaps Rav didn't want to be Goyva Aksuva for Almana, even with a Shvu, the Rabbanu Chutz LeBezdin, because he held that when the Mishnah said Nimnu Milishava, it didn't just mean Shvu Deiraisa, it meant Shvu the Rabbanu as well. But the Mishnah said there is an Eitza, Hiskin Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin. What was Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin Stakana? Shetei Noideres, V'yusoyimim, Kom Masha Yirtu, V'goyvek Subasa. So why didn't they at least do that? Make her promise, make a neder, Yeyaseh Kol Peiros Oilam Alai, if my husband paid me, at least do the Eitzah of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, you know why they didn't do it? Because the Shnei de Rav Kili Nidri. Because in Rav's times, people were very makel in the Darim, and they were afraid that she would very easily violate her Neder, so that wasn't either a good idea. So they didn't want a Shvua, they were very makel in the Darim, and as a result, Rav just kabashed this whole halacha, and Almana is going to lose her ksuba. With regards to Bishnei Derav Kili Nidri, we can go down memory lane here a little bit as well. We learned Masechnis Nedarim and Nazir, which both deal with the ideas of Nedarim, but this is something that was very important, very prevalent throughout the generations, where people were very makel in Hilchas Nedarim. We spoke out that the Rishonim already say that it's for that reason yeshivas, they didn't learn Masechnis Nedarim. The reason they learned Masechnis Nedarim is because they were afraid of one Perek. Perek Naira Murasa. The end of, not because of the Lumbus, but they were afraid of Perek Naira Murasa because it talks about all the halachas of Afaris Nadarim and Ataris Nadarim, and they didn't want that someone's going to make a neder, or go to a chacham, will be mate neder, because Inyone Nadarim was something that was very kuladig by them. And for that reason, when you open up a Masechta Nadarim, it doesn't look like a regular Talmud Bavli Masechta. Lashon Nadarim Mishuna, you don't have Rashi, you don't have a real Toisvis, you have the Ran on the side. So the whole Masechta Nadarim is a different Masechta, and it's all based on the fact they didn't learn Masechta Nadarim. So it was never edited in the same way by the Rishonim as other Masechtas were, and it was because it was a double kal by them, and that's why they didn't want to do it. We spoke out when we learned Masechta Nadarim, the Ramban al HaTorah. Where's the parish of Afaris Nadarim mentioned in the Torah? Parshas Matis. Parshas Matis begins by Yidabre Moshe El Roshi HaMatis Levnei Yisrael Leimor Zeh Hadova Hashativ Hashem, and the whole parish of Nadarim. And all the Rishonim ask that why was the parsha of Avaris Nadarim said to the Matos? Well, what does Matos mean? not this Roshei Hamatis, the heads of the Shvatim. So they were said to all the leaders. Why was it only said to the leader? So the Lutzker Rav, does Naiva Torah, said, Vayedaber Moshe Roshei Hamatis, as could be, we know the Gemara says sometimes, Dibur HaKosev Veloshen Hoiva. He says, who makes promises and doesn't keep their promises? The Roshei Hamatis, politicians. You ever listen to a political debate or a politician's campaign that he's running on? He's not going to raise taxes, he's not going to this, he's not going to tax. But Tommy's elected, so it says the Lutzker Rav, it could be the Torah addressed the Parsh of Nedarim to the Rosh Hamatos because it's more relevant to them than it is to anybody else. But either way, the Ramban says a different shot. The Ramban says, V'ulai, tzorich lahalim eila hachukimehem. It could be, you know why we told it to the Rosh Hamatos? Because only they're allowed to know about it. The Amaratzim stay home, Parshas Matos. This is not for you. And the reason is, Shla yinagu kalis Rosh Benedarim. Aval achachmi Yisrael. Rashi Shiftayim, they have to know the halacha. So as much as the parsha of Hataras and Dorim was told to Klal Yisrael, but it was told secretly, it was told to the Rashi Amatas, they can handle this. But as it relates to the Hamoinam, Asur La'omer B'fei Ha'aretz, and in fact that was the Minhag Yisrael, they didn't learn it for years, we spoke a lot about the Kol Nidre, etc. So very interesting things. There was a woman that came to Rav Huna. She was an Amana, and she wanted to collect her ksuba. There's nothing I can do for you. Why? The Rav, who was my Rebbe, I'm a Rav Huna, I'm a Rav throughout Shas. So a Rav was Rav Huna's Rebbe. He didn't collect subas for an Amana. So she said, Ella Dilma Nokitna Miyadi Miksubasi. Why didn't Rav collect subas? Because he didn't want people to swear. He didn't want the woman to swear. Nimnu milashbia. It wasn't a good thing, Shvua. So she jumped up and she said, really? Chai Hashem, tzvok beisim, nenesi miksubasi klom. She swore. I'm Ravuna, my dear Abbe, kefetzes. Likatchilo. We're not giving ksuba. Why? Because we're not going to tell her to swear. Oh, but she's kefetzes. She swore anyways. At that point, it's too late. He does say, like, I made the rabbi baravuna. I'm Ravos. He told her, my Abedlech. What can I do? This is rabbi baravuna talking. The rabbi, like, magni ksuba la malta. Number one, Rav didn't collect subas from Amonis. Not just that, for Abamari. This is Rabbi Baravuna, his father Ravuna. This was the Maisa Rav that happened with Ravuna. Amrole, so she told him, Havli Mizaini. He says, okay, listen, I can't get ksuba, let me get Mizainis. Amrole said, sorry, Mizaini Nami Lesuk, you're not getting Mizainis either. The Amrav, you don't have Shmuel, because now we're possibly like Shmuel. Hatevas ksubasa bebez. Remember these Gemaras and the ksubas. Ain't love Mizainis. That once a woman even shows an Amana that she's willing to go on, she starts dating. She loses her Mizainis. At that point, they don't have to give her anything. As long as she respects the state of being an almana, at that point she's entitled to mezainis. But once she does something that shows that she's moved on a little bit, at that point she doesn't get mezainis. So basically, she couldn't get her ksuba. Rabbi Baravuna said because Rav never allowed a person, a woman, an almana to get ksuba, and I can't give you mezainis either because Shmuel said that once you tevei ksuba, which she just was, unfortunately she's not getting the ksuba, but she was tevei the ksuba, she can't get that either. Amaleisa, she cursed Rabbi Baravuna. She said, "Avchu l'kursei, may your seat be overturned." It was an idea of now you're sitting on your throne, you're a gadol. May it all be flipped. So he told her, "Well, I can betray. Obviously, you're giving me two chumras. You're giving me Rav's chumra. That's why I can't get my ksuba. And you're giving me Shmuel's kruva. Shmuel's chumra. That's why I can't get mezainis." So the Gemara said that Rabbi Baravuna was a little paranoid. He was a little superstitious about this klola that he got. So avchu l'kursei. So he took his own chair, the tzui, flipped it around, and he picked it back up. But filu hachi, it didn't work. Like Ifrik, Michusha, he didn't make it out without getting sick. The klola that this woman gave, wow, Rabbi Baravuna, was in this guy. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yirmiyah Bira. Adra bebezdin. I want you to find a situation with this almana that's trying to get a ksuba. Adra bebezdin, make her promise. Make the neder. The ashba chutz lebezin, and make her make a shvul chutz lebezin. The lacy kala v'lipa pu'udni, and I want to hear about it. The beina keichid avi b'maisa, because as we said earlier, Naharda, they said that it was really machlekes Rav and Shmuel whether there's still an eitzah for an almana to get her ksuba minechsi yisayim or not. Rav was the one who didn't do it, but in Naharda they said that Shmuel didn't have a problem with it. Number one, Shmuel allowed a shvul chutz lebezin. Shmuel also allowed the halacha of the Mishnah shetena deres liyisayim and komashi yitzav v'gad b'ksuba. So Rav Yehuda, who was a Talmud of Shmuel, interestingly, he was also a Talmud of Rav, but here he was showing bias towards Shmuel, and he said that I want to hear about a maisa where there was a psak halacha like Shmuel. It's going to make me happy to hear that a Bez Din Paskin like my Rebbe Shmuel, and not like Rav Schumra, who Rav loy magbi ksuva la'armalta. Guf. Amar Rav Zeira Mashmuel. Loy shanu el almana. We mentioned this earlier. This is only true for an almana. Aval grusha, who's coming to la'k ksuva. Bichahai Gavna, where she has to swear. Mashpi, no, it's the halacha is, we can make her swear. Freik the Gemara of a grusha, the Azrulai. It sounds like that a grusha can swear, but it also sounds like she has to swear. She doesn't have the easy way out of neder. Meaning the Mishnah, they said Almana, who cannot swear, has neder. A grusha, it sounds like, can swear, therefore has to swear. And there's no eitz of neder, but the Gemara says they can't be. Vashalch mitam, they sent the following letter from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Eich plunisa bas pleni, there's a woman, kabila skitim yodada acha bar hidya. She received a get from Acha, the son of Hidya, the miscreant, who has a nickname, Ayamari. Interesting, he had two nicknames. You don't find two names by real names. But his nickname is Ayamari. It sounds like it's two names. The Nadris, and she made a neder in order to collect her ksuba. The Osris perish of Eilam Allah, and the neder was, Yeyaser kol perish Eilam Allah, the late Kabilas Miksubasa, that she didn't get from her ksuba only, Ela Glufgara, look at Rashi, last line, Kota, a coat, Echad, V'sefer Tehillim, Echad, V'sefer Iyoiv, Umem Shalis Beluim, and these were all worn out Svarim. That's all she got. She didn't get anything else. V'shamnum, and we estimated the value of what she had received, V'chamisha mana, she got 5 mana of payment. When she comes to you to Bavel, she's en route to Bavel. Yeah, those, by the way, those farm are worth a lot of money today, if you have them. Collect everything. So what do you see here? See, he had a situation where there was a grusha who made a neder in Beis Din in order to collect her ksuba, to collect what her husband owed her. Why a neder? I thought a ksuba is allowed to swear, and to the extent the ksuba is allowed to swear, then why are we letting her get off with a neder? So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Ashi, who get Yavama? It wasn't a regular get. Really, he was talking about a woman that was an almana. Her husband had died. However, she fell liyibum v'chalitza. The Yavam, instead of doing yibum or chalitza, he gave her a get. What happens if he gives her a get? So the halach is, now he can't do yibum anymore. None of the brothers can do yibum anymore. Now there's no option of chalitza. Get Yavam is a perek Rabbi Gamliel thing. But either way, when she was collecting her ksuba, she wasn't collecting it b'toiras grusha, because the get that she got was from the yavam. It was a whole different type of get. It was a get that sealed her fate. And now she's not going to have yibum. Now she's going to only have chalitza. But really, she was collecting her ksuba as an almana. Oh, an almana. That's the dina of the Mishnah, like Shmuel Pesach Halacha, that ha'idna, we're not worried about the fact that people are making on the darim, and that it played itself out the way the halacha, the Mishnah, played itself out. Hiskin, Rabbi Gamliel, Azokin, Shetehei, Noi, Teres. Om Rafuna, Rafuna said, Leishon, Elabash, Lein, Nisays. This halacha that we tell the woman to swear is only if she didn't remarry. Abel Nisays, let's say you have an almana who's coming to collect the ksuba minach siyasayimim. She has since remarried. She's married now. She's not going to get mesoinus, but ksuba she's still entitled to get. So the Mishnah said, what do you do? Tell her to make a neder, and by her violating her neder, that will be a raya that she's telling the truth. Because people are not mekel when it comes to nedarim. So Rav Huna said, very practically, this only works if she didn't remarry. Because if she remarried, Emadir, it's my time in the Mefer Labal, because she's going to go home. Her husband, her new husband's going to Mefer, will be made for the neder, and the whole neder will be bottle. But the Gemara says, if that's the case, kiloinis is nami. Then it shouldn't work even if she did make the neder. Why? Because when she gets remarried, the husband will be made for it. Then what does the Gemara answer? Of Perek Naira Murasofim. So ain't about made for Bekoidman. Therefore, the husband could only be made for a neder that she made while she was married. So if she's married now, the husband can be made for the neder. But don't be worried about the fact that she'll make the neder, quickly get married, and let the husband be made for the nether. That's not a concern, because that nether the husband cannot be made for. Ain't a bar made for. Faith to Gemara, but the have another way for her to get out of it. Dilma ozal gabi chacham b'sharila. Maybe she'll go to a chacham. The chacham can't be made for, but the chacham could be matter. Says the Gemara, kasavat tzarich lefayr des nether. That Rav Huna was of the opinion that a person that comes to be matir neder needs to be mefarit, has to specify the neder that he wants to be matir. So therefore, when she comes to the chacham, and the chacham says, tell me a little bit about the neder, he says, well, I was trying to get my ksuba, and you see, they didn't want to give it to me, because they were choshed, so I made a neder, but really, I lied, so I need to get out of this neder. So either way, it's all going to be fine, that's what you don't have to worry. Rav Nachman Amar Afilo Nisays. Rav Nachman says that, no, this works even Nisays. Nisays, what do you mean? If she's married, how could you make her Forget the chacham. Her husband might not be a good guy, so the husband will easily be made for the neder. What are we accomplishing by telling her to make a neder? The madrina la berabim. We're going to make her make the neder berabim in front of 10 people. And Rav Nachman was of the opinion that a neder shahuda berabim in lo yafarot. The husband can't be made for. So there's a way to get her to make a neder that the husband can't be made for. Therefore, it's possible even if she's married. What did Rav Huna hold? Rav Huna obviously held that a neder shahuda berabim, the husband could be mefer. So Rav Huna held that once she's married, there's no eitzah, the husband will always be able to be mefer. Rav Nachman said there is an eitzah. The eitzah is to make it a neder shehuda b'rab. Meisvei v'ayt gemara kasha nisseis goyve ksuba. So if she got married, she can still be goyve the ksuba im nadra. My lab nadra hash. So it sounds like even if she made the neder after she got married, still she can be goyve the ksuba. It's a right of Nachman, not like Rav Huna. Loi the nadra may kar. It's talking about where she made the neder before. She made the neder before, it's not a problem. She's married now, the husband will be mefer. Ain't about mefer, but goyve. But Tanya v'ayt gemara another kasha nisseis noideres for goyve ksuba. So here it's clear. First she got married. So the gemara says Tanoi, it's totally real in machlekes tanon. Ikel mandamar neder shehuda berabim yesh leyafara. Ikel mandamar ein leyafara. In other words, whether or not this eitz of the Mishnah of making neder works is totally in whether a neder shehuda berabim is yesh leyafara or ein leyafara. If it's yesh leyafara, you can't do it. That was what Rav Huna held. If it's ein leyafara, then you could do it. There's a way to make a neder, make it a neder shehuda berabim, and that was the shita of Rav Nachman. But either way, you can't ask a kasha from a brisa because, being that it's really a machlekes tanon, whether neder shehuda berabim is yesh leyafara or ein leyafara, so the amiroim can always pick one of these respective tanon and hold like that. Ibo iluhu tzarech lefaretes haneder oy einoy tzarech. So we mentioned hilchos nedarim, and we mentioned the concept of someone who goes to a chacham to be matan neder, whether or not he needs to specify the neder. So the Gemara says it's in fact a machlekes amiroim. Ibo iluhu tzarech lefaretes haneder oy einoy tzarech. Rav Nachman amar einoy tzarech. Rav Nachman says he doesn't have to. Papa says he does have to. Nachman Amar Einoy Tzarech, he doesn't have to. Di Amar Tzarech, because if you're going to tell me that the person has to be fired to neder, you know what we're worried about? Zimnin de Gaia Zol de Dibure. We're afraid that the person that's going to come to be matan neder won't give the Chacham all the information. The Chacham, I Deshama Mefer, he'll be Mefer based on the information he got. The problem is that if he didn't get all the information, then the Hatorah is not really going to be Chal. Because it's like a toys. He's only being mater based on what he heard. But he didn't really get accurate information. So now you're going to have a real issue. The person thinks that the Chacham was mater the neder. Really, he wasn't mater the neder. So you know what the best thing to do is? Don't say anything. If you don't say anything, the Chacham is not going to base his Hatorah on what you told him. He'll base it on what the neder really was. So therefore, regardless of what the neder was, he'll always be mater. Rapapa says, I hear what you're saying, but I'm spinning it the other way. I'm concerned in the reverse. Sorech, Mishum Milsa Isura. Because if you're going to tell me you don't have to be mater neder, what if somebody made a neder to prove a point related to some issue that's happening, such as in our Mishnah? If you're going to just go to the Chacham and be mater neder, like for example, this woman would walk to the Chacham and say, I made a neder. What was the neder? Koinim Peres Ha'olam Alai. Without giving us all the information that she made this neder to prove the Bezdin, then bad things can happen. Averus can come from it. So Rav Nachman was concerned about one thing, Rav Papa was concerned about another thing. Either way, it's Machlokes Tamiram. Says the Gemara tonight, I know you said Nashim Aveiro, somebody who's a Kohen, and he married a woman that he wasn't allowed to marry. So for example, he married a Grusha. Kohen's not allowed to marry a Grusha. Possible. The halacha is, he's not allowed to do the Avoida, Ad She'idar Hano, unless he makes a neder that he won't have Hano from his wife. If he makes a neder that he's going to have Hano from his wife, then it's fine. For Tonil, in fact, the Braisa said, neither, make the neder, for Oive, do the Avoida, Yeri the Megarish, and then afterwards, you can divorce your wife. The point is, as long as he makes a neder that he won't have anah, so we know he can't live with her, because if he can't have anah from her, they can't live together. So it's inevitable now that he's going to divorce her. At that point, he's allowed to resume doing the avodah. And if you're going to tell me that a person can be matan neder, why are you concerned that this kohen, after he made the neder, he did the avodah, that's what he wanted to do, he's going to go to the chacham, he'll be matar. Says the gemara, they'll force him. It only works if he makes the neder berabim. Neder shehuda berabim ein leyafara. But the gemara says not everybody holds that. That's all true if you hold ein leyafara. El lemandam yesh leyafara. But according to mandam that says neder shehuda berabim yesh leyafara ma'ikla meimar. So the gemara says the madrina leyatasra. There's another trick we have. The trick is not do it just berabim in front of 10 people, because there's a machlokes. There are those that hold that a chacham or a husband can be matar or mefer a neder that was huda berabim. Do it al das rabim. Basically, say that I'm doing it And I want everyone to be maskim to what it is I'm doing. The Amar Amemer, Amemer said, Hilchasod Halacha is that Afilu the Mandam Neder Shul Rabbim Yeshle Afara, even the Mandam that holds that a Neder Shul Rabbim is Yeshle Afara, Al Das Rabbim is worse, Einle Afara. The reason is because now everybody has a vote. The Rabbim has a vote. Hey, you mat the Neder. I have Pesach. I have Charota. Had I known, I wouldn't have done it. Okay. Your vote was just tallied, but we have to go ask everybody else because it was a neder shehud berabim. Everybody, being that it's not practical to ever be matter such a neder, so therefore a neder shehud berabim is a neder. So that was the way that brayso that said neder ve'oived yoyedu megarech. I warn you, concerned according to the mandama that holds, you don't have to be mafarit. If you hold that you have to be mafarit the neder, it certainly works. The chacham can never be matter it unless you tell him exactly what needs to be done. But if you hold the ain of tzarach mafarit as a neder, what's the etza? The teretz is he did it al das rabin. Says the gemara v'hani mili. This that we said that a neder that was done al das rabin, you can't be matter. It's only with varishos. If the reason you want to be matter the neder that was Hudra Das Rabbim is for a Dvar Rishos. Aval a Dvar Mitzvah. Let's see, doing it for a Dvar Mitzvah, Yesh Le'afara. Then you could be Mater, even a Neder that was Hudir Al Das Rabbim. Now, what's the Gemara's example of a Dvar Mitzvah? There was a Rebbe in Cheder, the Adre Rab Acha Al Das Rabbim. The Rab Acha made a Neder. Rashi says the Neder was Shlo Yilamid Oiti Noikas, that this person can no longer be a Rebbe. And he did it Al Das Rabbim. And you know why he made the Neder? Davaposha Biyanuki. Rashi says, on Yosef Midai. He used to beat his Tamidim. Yosef Midai, more than he was supposed to. The Ahadre Ravino. And Ravino was Matir of Achaz Neder, and he reinstated this Rebbe. And the reason was, Lo Yishtakech Didai Kalose. Because as much as he was a brutal Rebbe, there was no one as good as him as a Rebbe, and it was for that reason he reinstated him. Either Neder was done, Al Das Harabim. So you see from here that it's only Advar Rishus you can't be mapped to such a neder. However, Advar Mitzvah, you can. So just one final maramachim, and that is bottom line. Halacha l'maisa. You're a Rebbe. Are you allowed to beat your Talmidim? Or you're not allowed to... As far as the minute goes, there's different minhagim. But halacha, what's the halacha? So it's one line in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Yerideya. Simin Reish Mem Hei. Sivkotin Yud. Just don't tell this to the Rebbe. Lo yaka oisai hamelamed. A Rebbe should not hit his Talmud. Makas oyev, musr achzori, loy b'shoitem, v'loy b'makol, ela b'ritzur katana. You can use a ritzur katana. That's the way to do it. So clearly you're allowed to hit him. Now at the same time, it shouldn't be makas oyev. You shouldn't like really beat him up. It shouldn't be a davar shel achzori. You also shouldn't use an AK-47. Ela b'ritzur katana.